Welcome back to another episode of M&A Access. My name is Ekaterina, and today I'm here in the studio with Gilbert Cruz. First of all, Gilbert, thank you so much for being here today. I know that you are from our Houston chapter, so you've had a bit of a traveling done just to be here today. You are also part of our Young Professionals chair. So with you, I wanted to discuss that particularly because me as a young individual myself, I always respect people who are around my age and have already reached such big success in their career. So let's start with your background first. Introduce yourself the way you want. Share information that people might be interested in learning more about you and how you got into M&A field.
Oh, absolutely. So Gilbert Cruz, I'm originally from South Texas. Never envisioned myself being called a professional. but no, I grew up in South Texas, ended up going to school up at Sam Houston State University. I've had a really crazy career path to getting to where I'm at, you know, recruited for my university as soon as I got out. After that, went to a consulting firm. And then I joined an oil and gas company like everybody does in Houston. And I realized very quickly that I wasn't meant to be working with the massive Fortune 50 companies. Really, the space that I enjoyed being in was more of the smaller, privately held business market, a place where individuals had more skin in the game. So one of my colleagues from the consulting firm that I was at actually reached out to me. This would be about 3 years ago. And recruited me over to come to Calvetti Ferguson. And I've just been along for the ride. It's been really great. We've been growing a lot as a firm. And with that growth, they've really encouraged me to step out and just make myself available to anybody who needs help. And that way I slowly trickled into the M&A market. And I've been very blessed to be a part of some like really good teams and really good boards. So AM&AA being one of them. So, yeah, it's been great.
What has been the best part so far of being part of the M&A community?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best part about it is just no deal is the same. You're dealing with individuals from like various backgrounds. And I think the really key part is when you're focusing predominantly in the private market, there's a lot of business owners that this is their life, right? When you're talking to them about what the next phase in their career is going to be or in their life, they're not just talking about their business. They're talking about themselves personally. And it almost energizes you, right? When you're able to talk to somebody who has like a deep passion for what they do. And I think that's what the M&A market is there for, right? I think it as advisors, as people who work with business owners, it's our place to kind of usher them into that next chapter and kind of help them out and just be there, be a good steward. And I think being a young professional within this market, it's given me a lot of ability to learn from some tenured individuals, both on the advisor side as well as the business side.
So what is your biggest passion in that M&A deal process? Is it more of a networking? Do you enjoy talking to people more? Or is it the business side of it? What is it that you're most passionate about?
I definitely think it's a mixture of all of them. It's really the strategic approach to getting deals done, right? I think you need a little bit of everything in order to be successful in getting the right deals done. You know, focusing on the networking aspect, right? Getting to meet individuals who make up for the areas that myself or my firm might not be able to help out with, whether it's like an attorney or actually direct, like private equity firms, investment banks, capital providers. And then once you have the right team in place, right, like working together to get that business owner to where they need to be, and ultimately it being a successful exit, right? So I think it's really the strategic aspect of it, right? It's as somebody who grew up playing sports, knowing the positions on the field and knowing what everyone's role is to ultimately, you know, accomplish the main goal. I think that's the part that I enjoy the most.
And you also have built a pretty strong networking like community among the young professionals. How did you build that? How did it become so successful?
You know, I think people are put in your life when you need them the most. And one of the things that I've been really blessed with is the fact that, you know, I've met some really great individuals, and it makes it easy to kind of want to work with those people and kind of connect them and put them in places where they themselves could be successful as well. I don't think we were meant to be alone as human beings. I think we were meant to connect. We were meant to be able to share the difficult moments in life and the good moments in life. And through my network and being able to connect with individuals, I mean, it never surprises me when I talk to someone and they have a shared experience that I have, right? Or they might be going through something at the same time I am. And it just, when you make those personal connections, it just makes it easier to accomplish the business side of things.
And what kind of impact do you think young professionals are currently living in the M&A world?
I mean, the M&A world is changing really quickly, right? I mean, the market itself has been it's been a roller coaster, right? The tools that we use in order to get more efficient at executing deals, they're growing, right? I think the buzzword everyone talks about is AI, right? You know, I think when we talk about specifically the young professionals' role in this like changing ecosystem, it's exciting, right? I think that young professionals now are having more opportunity because of these changes to be more actively involved within the deal space. You know, I go back to some of the people I've met in the process of this, right? Some of the young professionals who are on my board down in Houston, some amazing stories. Like one of my friends, I consider him a good friend now. He is the youngest like attorney at his firm's attorney to become a shareholder at his practice, mm-hmm. right? So you have some rising stars like that. And then you have individuals who are more directly connected with the business owners, right? Where they're the ones from a earlier point are trying to assist them in this process. I just think that with change, you need that injection of new blood, not to replace the old blood, but to like help them out. And almost be like that fresh set of legs on the field, right?
Exactly. And I think that's a good point, because sometimes when you hear younger people, you don't take them seriously right away. You don't think they're professionals. So, and with that, there are some challenges that come into your career too.
Yeah.
Have you faced anything like that?
We joke around within some of my networks down in Houston. People think that I'm going to be the longest tenured young professional ever, just because I started relatively young, and my firm did they did me a big service, right? They took a chance on me, someone with not too much M&A, not too much accounting experience, and they said, hey, he's got the raw tools. We're going to put him in the position that he needs to be in to succeed. And because of that, I've been very fortunate to be in the position where I get to be in some of those rooms that most young professionals don't find themselves to be in. But along with that comes the, hey, he's relatively young. He doesn't have the business acumen that I may have, that some of my clients may have. And that's okay, right? I think that lends itself for the opportunity to really, I'm not going to say prove people wrong, but show them that young professionals in the market are getting more involved, being more active in it at an accelerated rate. And I think for the business community, that's great, right? If you had some individuals who had a 15-year career, right, they have that tenure of 15 years to get from point A to point B and eventually climb up that ladder. If you're allowing people to have a tenure of 25 years, how much more can they go with 10 more years, right? And as younger professionals are getting them more involved, like, I just think it's going to do nothing but support the M&A market and business community as a whole. So, you know, I've seen some individuals who are starting in the M&A space younger than I did, and it makes me excited, because I know that, hey, firm that took their chance on this 23, 24-year-old in 20 years is going to have a 45-year-old leader, right, who still has a large amount of runway ahead of them. So it's an exciting thing.
Mm-hmm. And you've talked a little bit about AI as well. What are your thoughts on AI in the M&A world? Is it ruining things? Is it helping you as a young professional?
So I had a really good conversation on the way up here with one of the with somebody I have a lot of respect for. He's a director of private equity of business development for a private equity firm down in Houston. And him and I, we just chatted for 30 minutes and naturally AI came up. And one of the things that we both really agreed on and we both really thought is you can approach at it from two points, right? You can look at it as, hey, AI is going to come in and it's going to reduce the amount of analysts we need. It's going to reduce the amount of people we need. Or you can look at it as an opportunity to really accelerate the process, whether it's deal sourcing, whether it's actually getting the structures of deals done. I think the individuals who adopt it are going to be able to be more effective in the roles that they have. And because of that, the importance of individuals who are able to get out there and be able to make natural human connections, those are the individuals who are going to excel in this new AI-driven world, right? I think AI can make Excel faster. AI can help you Google search and get things done faster. But one thing that it can't do is it can't speed up the way that relationships work. There's such a high importance in the ability to walk into a room, sit down with someone and just have a genuine conversation. I use ChatGPT quite a bit, but I don't think ChatGPT is going to be able to walk in here and have a full conversation, right? If it does, then I think we're all doomed.
So, Gilbert, besides AI, what are some other trends you are currently watching in the M&A market?
I think it's not a singular trend. I think it has to do more with the way that quality businesses are trading and, you know, being acquired. Acknowledging that Goldman report I mentioned earlier, right? What that signals is the fact that you have higher multiples coming for these quality businesses. And what that's also doing, it's attracting some firms that traditionally wouldn't have strategies in the lower middle market lower middle market, right? You now have these very large international firms that would usually trade larger deals, right? Deals, you know, 10 million in EBITDA and up, now starting to look at deals in that 5 to 10 range. Just because when it's a quality deal, it's a quality deal and people are wanting to hop in on it. So I think that for firms that are predominantly focused on lower middle market deals, they're going to have increased competition from individuals that they normally wouldn't be seeing that level of competition coming from. But I think you could take it from one approach to another, right? With that increased competition, you can either say, man, I'm going to lose out on every deal that I'm going after if I'm competing against these people, or it'll make private equity firms have to reevaluate what their strategic advantage is, right, and what they bring in addition to the finance aspect of it to these business owners, right? Like, what guarantees can you give me in terms of, you know, taking care of my employees? What can you do in terms of structuring, right? So I think that that's one of the biggest things that we're going to see. As multiples go up, the competition is going to go up with it.
All right, let's switch gears a little bit. I prepared a fun game for us to play.
Love games.
It's like a quick fire round with just 10 rapid questions.
Okay.
You pick one option and we'll just keep it fun and fast.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, merge two rivals or spin off a new company?
Merge two rivals or spin off another company. I'll go spin off another company.
Face regulators or face angry shareholders?
Shareholders for sure, yeah.
Quick synergy or long-term growth?
Long-term growth.
Cash deal or stock deal?
Cash is king.
I agree. Domestic merger or international expansion?
Being in Texas, I would say domestic.
Mm-hmm. Friendly acquisition or hostile takeover?
Friendly.
Private equity partner or strategic corporate buyer?
Private equity.
Tech industry deal or healthcare deal?
Right now, tech, yeah.
Speed or thoroughness?
Thoroughness.
Restructure a legacy firm or take a startup public?
Startup public, probably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, these are, yeah, those is a very good lightning round. Yeah.
You were very on spot and you were not even thinking that much.
Well,
with
in,
the options.
In my head, it was like, I was like, oh, yeah, this would be really cool to do, but this is also really cool to do. So mm-hmm. I think I went with the second choice most of the time because it's the last thing you said.
Except for the cash.
Yeah.
Why do you not like stock deals?
I just think cash is king.
I agree. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about leadership and growth now. What are some of the most valuable lessons that were taught to you throughout your young career so far?
There's been so many, and I think some of them come from, you know, points of like being down. My mentor from college taught me the biggest lesson, and I've told this countless amounts of times. It was when I was making my first transition to a corporate job, coming from, you know, working for a university. He was a longtime executive at an oil and gas company down in Houston, and he told me, he said, Gilbert, don't make your decision based on the financial compensation, right? Make your decision on what's going to enable you to do the things you love the most, what's going to be able to facilitate the things that you do outside of your 9 to 5, right? What's going to let you do your passions? And when he told me that, I was so confused, right? I was kind of like, okay, that's like common sense. But he proceeded to say, if you love your job 51% of the time, that's more than most people in the world.
True.
As long as it's allowing you to do the things that you love day in, day out. And then he added something at the end and said, if you're able to find a job that allows you to do the things you love, then you're in the right place. And not to do like a shameless plug here, but I've found that in the role that I'm doing now, right? I get to help people out. I don't look at it as, hey, dollar signs and transaction values at the end of the day. I look at it as, hey, this is a company, this is a business owner, and they have families. Their employees have families. By doing right by them and making sure that these individuals continue to have their jobs, they continue to provide the livelihoods of their families. So I've been very blessed to be able to accomplish that and take that lesson to heart. So,
But M&A is very competitive. How do you stay sharp and in a way aggressive in the industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to continue to treat people like people, right? You can't look at a deal as just a win, right? I think you can be competitive, but you can also be ethical in it. Obviously, coming from a service provider, being at a CPA firm, there's a lot of quality CPA firms out there. I'm not going to private equity like individuals and telling them, hey, like, let's do a Q of E for you. That's not how I'm leading it off. I just want to get to know them. I want to know what they're doing, what makes them different, what kind of drives their firm. And then from there, build a relationship, because I know that at the end of the day, people like working with people that they like being around. And that, I think that kind of drives more success long-term than, you know, that short-term, going back to the speed round, right? That short-term gain. And I think that you can truly be competitive, not with the external factors, but with yourself. My HR director, he always tells me, he goes, I know that you're like your number one critique and you don't celebrate your wins. You're always like on to the next one. So by having that other aspect of it and having that perspective, like, it does make you feel accomplished. Mm-hmm. And Yeah, I'm running my own race. I'm not running a race against the guy next to me.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we all are like that, though, because we judge ourselves more than others to begin with. It just naturally comes like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a famous quote. I think it's by Theodore Roosevelt, but I've heard a lot of athletes probably use it more recently. It's comparison is the greatest thief of joy, right? If I'm comparing myself to the person next to me, I'm not looking at the successes that I'm having along the way. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, I just want to be the best version of Gilbert I can be.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that and you treat people the right way, like, everything else falls in line. And, yeah.
What advice would you give to other young professionals in the M&A space? How to start? Where to start?
Where to start?
What to not be afraid of?
Don't be afraid to shake some hands, right? Don't be afraid to go up to individuals. You know, our firm does a lot to kind of give back to our community. And one of the things that we do is we go to one of our universities there in the area and we put on this networking presentation. And I've been fortunate to join them a couple times. And, you know, one of the questions that we say that is at the end of the presentation is, hey, what do you do when you're having a bad day? And this goes to that piece of advice, right? When you're having a bad day and you're going to a networking event and you're going to shake some hands and meet some individuals, you don't know what that person's going through in their life. You don't know if there's some family trouble going or some financial issue or, you know, they might have gone through something really hard and difficult before it. So why be the reason that they have an even worse day, right? So if you go in and you are intentional about your relationships and you genuinely try to meet people as humans, I think success naturally follows because it's a lot easier to row a boat with 10 people than it is by yourself. So if you treat the people right, the people are going to treat you right, and naturally you're going to be able to be really successful. So that's my piece of advice for anyone. I think don't be afraid to go up to the managing partner of another firm or the lead or the name attorney at a law firm, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were all in your shoes one day and you can learn a lot from them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's kind of advice I give people.
And come to our conferences too.
Yeah, solid conferences.
M&A conferences. We have one coming up here in January.
Yes.
Are we going to see you there, Gilbert?
I will be in Charleston. When you make friends in this industry, you kind of like being around them. So when the announcement for the conference came up, a couple of the people there in Houston were like, hey, what's everyone's travel plans? And we lined them up. So I'll have dinner with a couple of my executive committee members the night before. And then after that, we're just going to meet some quality people and hopefully get on some good deals.
So Gilbert, how can people connect with you and find out more about you and your services?
Yeah, I'm a shameless plug here. You could go to calvettiferguson.com. I'm on LinkedIn. My email is on our company website. You know, we're there. We're in multiple markets, so always happy to connect. You know, always happy to plug people in with the partners at our firm and seeing if we could provide some support, some help. And if we can't do it, we probably know some other people who can. So best way to connect with me is through email. And then after that, it's text message. Most of my friends just text me. Most of my people out in the market just text me at this point.
Thank you, Gilbert, so much for visiting us today. Thank you for your time. We hope to see you on our conference this winter. And thank you so much for listening and watching M&A Access. Until next time, stay tuned.